ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the arrival of the Mayor, Councillor Sophie Ramsey, and the Executive Officer, Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Please remain upstanding for the reading of the prayer and the reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
The reconciliation statement. Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Please take your seats. Okay, apologies and leave of absence. We have two apologies.
Yes, apologies this evening from Councillor Maybeck and Councillor Mataluski.
Okay. A change to the order of business?
No change to the order, Madam Mayor.
Deputations?
There are no deputations this evening.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor? I'll rise as I have... I'm here now, so I'll do it. I have a direct conflict of interest on item number 18.6 on the agenda as I am one of Council's representatives on the Western Base.
Madam Mayor, I similarly have a conflict of interest in 18.6 in relation to the Western Base as I am a board member of the Western Base Incorporated. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shannon, sorry. The adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Do I have a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move the minutes from the previous meeting as true and correct.
Dated the 18th of November 2014?
Yep.
Councillor Dunn, is there a seconder for that recommendation?
I'll second that recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion before us has been moved by Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Correspondence inward. We have a parliamentary and departmental letter received by the Mayor. It's from Rebecca Jarvis, and it's in regards to... I'm just rereading it again. The secondary provision, school provision in Melton. And as you know, we've been advocating for high school to be provided, but this is in regards to the education and early childhood development values. It acknowledges the relationship with Melton Council and confidence that we both can continue to deliver good outcomes for the community through our relationship. Particular note, they want to the development of the recent private-public partnership schools and other community infrastructure in the local area. The department is aware of the extent of the population growth in Melton and its potential effect on local school provisions. The department manages new school provisions through the regular monitoring of population forecasts data, and the representatives recently met with council staff to discuss emerging priorities for future education provisions in the Melton area. And then the letter basically goes on that they've identified in the precinct structure plans to include a P-12 school on identified sites. But this all is in relation, or it's prioritised and worked out through if there's availability through the state budgets. So we'll just need to keep the pressure on. So do I need a... Is there a mover and a seconder for four departmental letters to be received.
I'll move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari.
I'll second that, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion now has a mover being Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour? Carried. Okay, petitions and joint letters?
No, Madam Mayor.
Resumption of debate or other business carried over from the previous meeting? Thank you. Public question time. Do you want to start with?
Okay.
Okay. You received a public question that I will read out, but I will alter it or edit it in a way as not to embarrass or bring undue attention to councillors. It's written by A. Tavana, and A. Tavana is in the gallery. She will also receive a written response. As the chair of this meeting, I will do as I choose. Well, then, I can also go pursuant to section 6.9, paragraphs 4 and 6, the question will not be answered because it is objectionable in substance and the question is asked to embarrass councillors. A written response will be provided. The next question,
question is from Mr. Edward Walker. Is Mr. Walker in the gallery? Mr. Edward Walker? Mr. Walker is not present. A written response will be provided to Mr. Walker in accordance with the local law. Second question is from Heiko Wasilowski. Is Mr. Wasilowski in the gallery? Mr. Wasilowski is apparently not in the gallery either. So a written response will also be provided to that question. Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is present. Question reads, Diggers Rest is considered at risk with respect to fire danger, in particular potential grass fire. At present, the fire danger rating warning chart at the entry to the township, the entries to the township, are considered by some residents to be either inaccurate or non-existent. Would council please undertake to evaluate this community safety issue and rectify if deemed necessary? Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development, will respond.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. In terms of the signage, warning signage that you're referring to, the Country Fire Authority actually coordinates the placement and daily update of those rating signage right across Victoria. We will raise this issue with them at the next opportunity, particularly via the Municipal Fire Management Planning Committee, and we'll provide you a written response, but thank you for raising that issue with us. It is a significant one. Thank you.
The next question is also from Mr. Tuvana. Mr. O'Connor, it reads, in accordance with a Melton Leader article, August 6, 2013, Melton Council, as part of a recent review of Council's 2011 to 2015 event strategy, it was decided that the Carols by Candlelight program change format to a single large-scale event. Would Council please confirm that the review was undertaken in the last term of council, and that the decision to phase out Carols by Candlelight event for Caroline Springs and Diggers Rest cannot be attributed to this current council. General Manager Corporate Services Peter Bean will provide a response.
Thanks for the question, David. The previous council did in fact adopt an event strategy which provides a framework for staff and then the council to evaluate all events held by council. Using this strategy, the previous council did resolve to rationalise the Carols program from three events to two events, and the following year, which was the first year of the new council that was elected, it was decided to host one single Carols by Candlelight event. Thank you.
Next question is from Ms. A. Tavana. The question reads, within the Melton City Council values, Council alleges to practice a craft and clearly exhibits this within the Council foyer. Can Council please clarify exactly what craft they alleged to practice? CRAFT is actually, an acronym for the Melton City Council values of continuous improvement, recognition, accountability, fairness and transparency. As an organisation, we expect these values to be reflected in the behaviour of our staff and to be embedded in the systems and processes of work employed by staff. Next question is from Linda Duckham. Is Ms. Duckham in the gallery?
No.
Apparently not. A written response will be provided as required. Next question is from Vin Leckie. Mr. Leckie is in the gallery. The question reads, I sincerely request you, as a council, consider and allow rear access from Minns Road for property owners on McDougall Street. I am attending this evening's meeting to have a discussion if this subject is addressed. Refer the matter to General Manager Planning and Development, Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Leckie, for your question. I understand your property is within the Thoroughbred Park Estate, which is on the northern extremity of the Melton Township. The northern boundary of that estate, as you know, abuts Minns Road, and the properties that abut Minns Road have a primary frontage on the southern side of their property boundary. So, in other words, they have two road frontages, but their actual road access is from the front and not Minns Road. Typically, Council does not allow a secondary access off a rear roadway such as Minns Road, and there are a number of examples throughout the municipality that I can point to where that's the case, including Clark Road in Caroline Springs, Caroline Springs Boulevard, Ryan's Lane in the Melton Township in the Killarney Lakes Estate, Tully Street in Melton, the Melton Highway in Hillside, and the list goes on where there are properties that have notionally two frontages but are only allowed one point of vehicle access from the front of the site. Having said that, I don't know the particular circumstances of your property, so I'm happy to have that situation reviewed and provide you further advice as to what options, if any, you may have in terms of getting access from Minns Road. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Okay, that's the end of the questions. We'll move on to our staff reports.
Madam Mayor, I think Mr. O'Connor seeks clarification on his question.
Do you want to clarify?
The answer was that the former council resolved to move from or rationalise from three events to two events. Then when the new council was elected in the first year of its election, of the term, the council resolved to go from two events to one event. And I'll provide that in writing to you.
Actually, and I'll add that too, that the criteria by which the strategy was devised, it was accepted by the former council, is that right? Yeah. Okay. We will go presentation of staff reports. 11.1, fixing the common seal.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.4. 11.8 and 11.13.
Do I have a seconder for that recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
We have a motion before us to move in block the following items. They are again 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.4, 11.8, 11.9, 11.13. Accept all the
Not nine.
11.8 and 11.13, and accept all the recommendations contained within. The mover is Councillor Bob Turner, seconded by Councillor Cuglieri. All those in favour? Carried. We will now move on to 11.5. Melbach Respite Services Provision Petition. Mr Heaney to present.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Councillors. This is an update on a petition that we received at the November 18th meeting of Council, where we received a petition signed by 719 people requesting Council to reverse its decision to cease to be a provider of the Melbach Respite House, and that would be effective from the 3rd of February 2015. In addition, Council has also received an electronic submission from 130 individuals across Australia, and the Council note there were no addresses provided on this electronic submission. The report is presented to provide a response to the petition and a summary of the process undertaken with the families, the relevant union and the state federal government departments, so what Council officers have undertaken to do at the moment. Just some short background, if I can, councillors, on the Melbach Respite House Service. It did commence operation in 1993 and it provides overnight respite for people with a disability. The service was extended again in 2005 with the introduction of camps, activities, leisure with Melbach, which is called a CALM project, and also delivering aged overnight care, which is a federal government initiative. Saying this, even though Council has resolved its decision, the service, as in respite, will continue to provide aged overnight till the 18th of December. So that's where we are at the moment, in 14, and the disability program will continue to deliver facility-based respite to the 27th of January, which is the end of the block booking process for our clients. This will provide the officers basically around about 5 days to finalise the last processes of the operation of the house and what we call our transition out arrangements and the conversations with the state and the federal governments and those families. We have advised the ASU of our intention, and formal notices have been issued in relation to our requirements under Council's Enterprise Bargaining Agreement. And those provisions are around our staff on redundancy, retraining and redeployment, which we're looking at the moment with our staff. There's some background, councillors, just on what the program specifically provides, but I won't go in detail into that, and that's on page 56. I will, though, read that Council resolved at its meeting again on the 23rd of September to cease to be a provision of the Melbach Respite Service, and again the 3rd of February. And they were due to a number of factors, councillors. That was a decline in the client base, and we have seen a massive decline in the last 4 years. The number of clients that reside outside our municipality, so the funding was for Northwest, and there's quite a number of families that live outside the municipality. The cost to deliver the service was definitely impacted and increasing annually, and obviously the ongoing asset maintenance and renewal of the house itself, the facility, the construction of the facility, asset renewal and upgrade. Risk assessments were taken into account in making the decision to close that house, and also the impending impact of what's known as NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and aged care reforms which are happening at the moment. But most importantly, it's an opportunity at the same time for Council to advocate a lot stronger to organisations to be a part of this city and provide specialist care to the residents that deserve it out here. And that was another impacting decision, that we're not a specialist provider in local government. And if we take into account that we're the only local government that are providing overnight respite, not respite, but overnight respite, which comes at some risk to the council. So our intent is to get larger and better organisations out here into our municipality to deliver those. I do want to touch on the consultation, because it has been a conversation of the last council meeting and questions, where there were some 21 questions raised at last council meeting. And it's important that I note this, that after that formal correspondence, that 10 families out of the whole group of families informed councillors that required further support to seek alternative respite options. These 10 families were 8 in disability that were utilising the facility for disability, and only 2 families from aged overnight. And they continue to receive council support in accessing other services. It's important to note, even from scripting this report, it was around 10. I think from memory today it's around about the 6, so it's dropping every day, and we're seeing that. Officers have, as I said, contacted as part of the consultation families individually on council's making them aware of Council's decision, and again formally has forwarded correspondence to those families, which we did receive a few concerns from those families about who the letters went to, in the way of they believe it should have went to the carers, not the client. But I just want to reiterate on that, that the letters went out to the database that we were provided from the families. So every part of the correspondence that Council has forwarded out in relation to these services in the past, these letters went to the same address and same contact. We haven't had issues in the past, but we did take that on board as a concern from the families. And I think we'll do better next time at that part of the consultation. I think it's important too, councillors, to note that staff have been advised of their entitlements and our EB requirements, and we're in consultation with the union on that. And the union, I know, are talking to their members about that situation. The other thing I really want to focus on, that the goal of this house is to get a bigger, larger and more supportive organisation in to operate the service out from this house. And that's our goal, and that's one of our council plan initiatives. I believe council can't continue to grow this service or expand this service in its current shape or form, but I think there are other organisations out there with the establishment of NDIS that will be in a better place for these families in the future, so there's a bit of hard work to do. We had formal correspondence back, and I think this is important from the federal government and the state government, that they acknowledge council's decision and they will work with us as best as they can to try and place another provider into this facility. I think it's important also, councillors, that we note that the council doesn't determine who the service provider is. Hopefully there is one. The Department of Human Services make that decision and make that decision of who they're going to fund a provider service, hopefully. So we're in constant negotiations with the federal government about negotiating a transition of some recurrent monies to help us provide other programs to some of those clients in the aged care space. And we continue to have negotiations with the state government about retaining the funding that's there, and hopefully another provider taking that option up sooner rather than later. If I can, Madam Mayor, knowing that you and I have had some discussions last night and only as late as this evening with a number of the families, I think the families are in a more comfortable space than they were probably a week ago. We did meet seven families, the Mayor, myself and our community care manager, and went through a number of things with those seven families only last night. And again, we give a commitment to meet a number of families this evening out at the front of the Civic Centre, which the Mayor, myself and our community care manager and our communications were part of that process. So we answer a lot of their concerns. I think the most important thing with this councillors is we will formalise another letter to those families. We believe there are a number of options where we can accommodate those families in respite, not overnight respite, so they want to know more about that. So we've asked them please to come forward, if you like, and talk to our staff about those opportunities that may occur at a point in time. So I think I've been thorough as I can be, councillors, on this one. And really there's two recommendations on this report on page 55, and that is obviously to note the petition and the submission received in Appendix 2, and that was the electronic one, and write to the petition organiser, which is Mr Danny Eaton, advising them, the petition organiser, of the council's decision. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Mr Eaton. Does any councillor seek clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move that the council note the petition and write to the petition organiser advising them of council's decision.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Is there a seconder?
I'd be pleased to second that, knowing that it was a very difficult decision for council, but I do believe that in the long term the advantages of bringing in an outside provider, a bigger and better provider, hopefully will have a lot of advantages for this community in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Right, we have a motion before us, councillors, moved by Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. We'll move on to 11.6, notice of motion 391, establishment of a homework club. Mr. Bean to present. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present the report to Council that it resolved at its meeting held on 21 October to have Council staff prepare a report to Council investigating the options and potential benefits to young people and children in establishing homework clubs at both the Caroline Springs and Melton Libraries. Homework clubs commonly occur throughout Victoria and certainly take a number of different forms. They're often associated with particular community service groups and organisations who have a connection with working with young people and particularly sort of other disadvantaged groups. In addition to the groups that are operated by community service organisations and are generally free of cost to people or at a minimum cost to participants and their families, there is also strong industry or homework support study assistance programs offered by a raft of commercial providers, either as private individuals or by companies, such as entities as Kip McGrath or Kumon, who charge fees for that type of service. There are a number of homework groups and individuals operating to deliver these sorts of services within our own municipality. These operate in a number of different venues and have costs associated to the service they provide. Some people also engage in tutoring individuals informally within the public spaces at both of the council's libraries in Melton and Caroline Springs. In preparing the report, a telephone poll of local schools has indicated that of the 33 schools within the municipality, there are 18 homework help groups meeting on school premises, predominantly at the secondary schools in Melton and Caroline Springs. Most are open to all students and incur no cost to those students. There are entities with expertise within the municipality who could partner with council and have expressed some interest in operating a homework club out of both the Caroline Springs and Melton libraries. These include VICSEG and the New Hope Foundation. Early discussion with the New Hope Foundation indicated that an outlay of $10,000 would provide a homework group similar to the one that they currently operate for quite a specialised group within the municipality in one location for one school year. For that amount of funding, it would provide overseeing and supervising, operation and sessions, a volunteer sourcing, training, accreditation, qualifications and coordination requirements to ensure that sort of the most effective and the best outcomes can be achieved in that sort of spectrum. If Council were to establish its own homework group, priority would be given to secondary school students. It's been seen as beneficial to limit the size of the groups to less than 20 for engagement and group management purposes. It's also important to match student needs with available expertise of tutors, and in general terms, most groups would limit their assistance to foundation studies and extension work in most subjects, with fewer opportunities to assist at the upper levels of secondary schooling, where individual student needs are more difficult to meet because of limited expert tutor availability and the specialisation of subjects that often many students pursue. The preparation time for homework groups is also critical to its success. Well-organised groups supported by effective coordination, adequate supervision, accredited tutors, including volunteers, are engaged and enthusiastic participants that have the best chance of success. Indications are that this preparation, when conducted by other homework groups, can take from 3 to 6 months to implement and commence operations. Factors such as the end of the school year and the need to build up relationships with school and other organisations for the sourcing of suitable students also need to be considered. With that last comment made, Madam Mayor, about the establishment time required, Council staff are still very interested to pursue a partnership arrangement for the pursuit of homework groups within the municipality. And with this in mind, I propose the recommendation set out on page 124 that reads, the Council continue to inquire into a partnership arrangement with suitable community service organisations to deliver a best practice program for homework groups at both the Caroline Springs and Melton Libraries to commence in July 2015. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor seek clarification on this item? Is there a mover?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to actually move this recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Lowry. She's quite bashful too, but it was Councillor Cookley-Lowry's initiative. Is there a seconder?
I'll stand to second that motion, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us, councillors, moved by Councillor Cagliari, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. 11.7, response to notice of motion 393, childcare expenses.
Madam Mayor, can I move the motion be put as is?
Moving the recommendation that the council receive and report for and receive the report for information. Yes.
Yes.
I have a recommendation before us that it be put. Is there a seconder?
No, I'm not seconding it, Madam Mayor. I've just got some questions that I'd like to ask to clarify.
Yes, I was going to second it.
Okay. Can we seek clarification before? Okay. We have the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cagliari, and Councillor Carley would like some clarification. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Firstly, can I say thank you to Mr. Veen and his team for putting together this report. I know this was my original notice of motion, but however, it was lost and then Councillor Turner's amendment was accepted and passed. Could I just state that looking at the report and looking at the appendices, I notice that there's no distinction on the amounts given to an agency or a private individual. There's only lump sums in the column of what's being paid to the councillors. Can Mr. Bean please indicate how many times a registered agency was used for childcare?
Through you, Madam Mayor, to Councillor Carley, I can't off the top of my head advise of that.
Do we know if these agencies provided on all occasions the required paperwork to comply with the rules for councillors' reimbursement of expenses of childcare?
Through you, Madam Mayor, as stated in the report, the receipts were provided to the council in accordance with the policy. Supporting documentation was provided to establish that the service had been provided. So in terms of invoices being provided in that regard, the council provided a receipt and the reimbursement was provided on that purposes of that receipt.
Could you please indicate how many times a private individual was used for a childcare?
To my knowledge, I don't know if a private individual was, but I for the purposes of here, I can't take the question on notice because I need to respond to it now, so I'd have to say that I'm not aware because we had to remove the, for privacy reasons, the differentiation between an entity and an individual.
So you
if I could just clarify that. Sorry, Councillor Carl. And for the purposes of some people had a name, they may well have a registered trading name, and I wasn't able to distinguish between whether the person's name was, in fact, a flow on from a trading name or not.
So do we know if any of the private individuals that may have been used provided on all occasions the required paperwork to comply with the rules for councillors' reimbursement of expenses on childcare?
It is my understanding that they did. Mr. Troy just asked me to clarify. Yeah, the only thing that was not necessarily in accordance with the council's policy was the council staff did not gain a copy of a statement of supply for where it was required. And of the four providers that were set out, I do have ABN numbers for three of those four providers, and I wasn't actually able to ascertain whether the fourth one had, but it isn't a requirement of the council to obtain a statement of supply form. We were reimbursing the council for services. If we were directly paying the childcare provider, it would be a requirement of council to obtain a statement of supply form. But as it's a reimbursement to the councillor, it's not a requirement of council to do it. It's actually a requirement of the provider to provide that level of detail.
Let's put this statement of supplier aside. Did they comply with all the rules for councillors to get that reimbursement? So, for instance, a tax invoice, which would have the correct hours, the service that was provided and everything else, putting aside the statement of supplier?
I might get the Chief Executive Officer to answer that. He authorises the reimbursements.
Generally, what was provided in the vast majority of cases was a receipt detailing the provider or the recipient of the payment, the number of hours, the rate per hour, and the date and the signature of the person receiving the payment.
Did the reimbursing officer investigate whether the ABN number provided on the tax invoices were legal, current, or linked to any persons which may have raised suspicion to the CEO?
No. Basically, because council is making the payment to the councillor, not to the provider, so council is making a reimbursement, not a payment, and as such, as provided that there was a receipt that matched the, was at an amount that was within the council policy that matched the hours designated in the councillor diary as to the council function that accorded with the childcare, and that the councillor was recorded as attending that function in the minutes or whatever else record of that event there was, then that was accepted as being proof sufficient that the payment had been made and was eligible for reimbursement. The process was then that the mayor had to countersign the application, the request for reimbursement. It was then it was initially prepared by the executive assistant to the mayor and councillors, signed off by the mayor, forwarded to myself for approval, returned back to the executive assistant to submit through the accounts payable system for reimbursement of the councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. My voice is going. For me, what's alarming about this report is that it shows the incomplete entries in the childcare expenses report during Councillor
Sorry, Councillor Kelly, is that a question or a statement?
No, I'm coming to the question. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Let's get to the question then.
Yep. So if I could just repeat what I've said, because then there's a question that follows.
No,
so
we'll just continue straight to the question.
Okay.
We know it's alarming for you, so
yep.
Let's get to the question.
Okay, well, it shows that it's incomplete entries because there's no hours that are listed, but I can see large amounts of money that were reimbursed. So is this an accidental omission that the report's not filled in correctly?
Through you, Madam Mayor, to the councils, it was the way that the staff used the receipts that were provided, which they didn't necessarily at the time look at the invoicing, that in the time that we had to prepare the report and prepare the appendices, that was the level of detail that they could go at the time. If we were able to move this out to sort of the February meeting, we would have had more time to actually go back through more archive records to obtain the copies of the invoicing to validate what the situation was.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Another two questions. During that time, did Councillor Malik, as mayor, approve her own reimbursements for childcare, being mayor?
No, I approve them.
At any stage when Councillor Malik and Councillor Cugliari were mayor, did they sign or approve their own reimbursements at any time?
No, the approval, the process is that the mayor's signing off is counter-signing the request. Obviously, if the councillor making the reimbursement request is the mayor, then that obviates that requirement and it goes directly to myself to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. We have a mover and a seconder for the motion, if there are no more questions. The mover being Councillor Turner, the seconder being Councillor Cugliari. The motion, all those in favour? All those against? Cool. No, we just go...
Into debate?
Okay, Councillor Turner. Open.
I reserve my right to talk at this present time.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The reasons why I'm opposing this to start off with is, in my personal opinion, I feel that there is a lack of accountability of where ratepayers' money is being spent. And all I'm interested in this is that this council's been transparent, accountable and responsible to our ratepayers. There's missing hours. However, there was quite a large sum of money reimbursed, and I'm not too sure if the members of the gallery have got the appendices, but you can see that there's some amounts here of $219.52, and yes, it says where the councillor or what meeting they did attend, but how many hours, we don't know. So, which seems to me that then the policy wasn't adhered to because the reimbursement forms weren't filled out correctly. However, the councillor has been reimbursed that amount of money with no evidence of how many hours. There's a claim from Councillor Cugliari of $140, which is online, but it's not included in the appendices. Then I look at 2009 and 2010 councillors' quarterly expenses, which is July 2009 to June 2010, and I add up Councillor Malik's expenses for carers, and it adds to $3,260, as shown online on our website. But then if you add from those dates through the appendices, you'll see that there's a huge dollar amount over. So it's not quite adding up to me. This report calls for more questions and it only gives a few answers, and at this present time I don't feel that I'm going to get the answers that I seek. So for now, I have nothing further to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Cugliari, would you like to...
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Do you want to class that as your first warning? Please class that as your first warning. Councillor Cugliari, you've got the floor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, the officers have spent a long, long time just going through this, and really, Councillor Carley, you asked from back to 2008. That is, what, 6 years? That $140 that you've just claimed that it's on the online, yes, it was for a Saturday all-day meeting, 7 hours for my two children. So the receipt has been given to the CEO. I just feel that I don't see any wrongdoing here. Everything was given as a receipt.
Andrew, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Okay. Is there any other councillor that wish to comment? Andrew, please. This is your second warning. Thank you. Please. Order. Okay. I would just like to make a statement at this point. The motion was put up. It was altered by Councillor Turner. There's been endless hours of documentation cross-referenced and checked. It's on the web pages. Timing might be an issue between the time it's incurred and the time it's actually paid. But at the end of the day, it all adds up. I think it answers everybody's questions. I think it correlates with people's diaries present at meetings. It's an expense that can be claimed. And at the end of the day, it's all there. And for now, we need to cease because, in my opinion, there's been more than the amount of dollars in administration time that we've spent going through the archives getting this document ready for council has been so disproportionate to work that we really should be focusing on. Now, if there is an issue with anybody's expenses and there is evidence of any wrongdoing, then by all means, every person in the gallery and everybody in the chamber, councillors included, can take it to the proper authorities. There's nothing about being open and transparent. It's about wasting people's time. Thank you. Councillor, Anjula Tavana, first warning. I have a mover and a seconder. Bob, would you like to speak to close?
Yeah, I really would.
Councillor Turner, sorry.
This is a really important issue for council. We've spent a lot of time on it, and I was pleased to amend the motion last time round because I didn't have anything against openness and transparency, but I thought we needed more detail. I know the work that's gone into the detail for this. And I would say that council's processes over the last, say, even 6 years, 10 years, whatever, before I was here as well, maybe haven't been squeaky clean. We maybe haven't dotted the I's and crossed the T's where we should. And we're finding out when we're going back and looking for records that there's some records I believe that they're not able to find. Personally, I don't believe that any councillor has claimed anything that they're not entitled to. I do believe maybe the process in recording it has been amiss in some way and just in some places. But I've full trust in my councillors that they wouldn't be claiming anything that they they're not entitled to. So I believe in moving this motion that we've spent a lot of time on it. If somebody would come up with something concrete that says, bang, this person has done that, that's against council policy, we'll go for them, because nobody wants that within council. But I believe that the time that's been put in this process has been... I know there's been one staff member spent probably 2 or 3 weeks on this, and they're pulling their hair out. But I think they've done a good job with the information they've had available. And I don't believe anybody's done anything wrong. I just believe, yes, our processes probably have been wrong, and we need to tighten them up for the future so that everything is not only above board, but be seen above board as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. We have a mover being Councillor Turner for the motion, a seconder being Councillor Cugliari. I'll put a motion. All those in favour? All those against? Division called. All those for? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Turner. All those against? Councillor Carley. I'll declare the division carried. Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is 11.9. It's the capital funding success outcomes, and Mr. Heaney to report.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, a very quick update if I can. I'll be as quick as I can with this one. Obviously, officers have been implementing a lot of funding submissions over the past 12 months, and this I thought was a good news story for the council. We have applied for large capital funds and we have secured those, and they've been subject of previous reports that's come to the chamber. But this one gives a variety, I suppose, I must emphasise that this report reflects the last government, not the new government, which is a bit complicated when our timing of our reports come up, and I acknowledge that. But really, page 222 tells the story in a table at the top of that page. We've been successful of another $650,000 for the Bridge Road reserve, if you like, and that's related to assisting us with capital funding for the hockey and the pavilion on that site. We've also been successful in $100,000 for Melton South, the Mount Carberry Reserve, to upgrade the lights there. So that's been a great initiative. And one that we were surprised to get but excited to get was $49,000 to assist us with the BMX track establishment at McPherson Park, which is some capital funds available in our program at the moment, and one for the eastern sector, which is $40,000. So in total, councillors, it's $839,000 we've received from the state government to help us deliver the capital initiatives as outlined on page 222. And really the recommendation is that council just note the capital grant secured for the amount of $839,000. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor seek clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move this recommendation, Madam Mayor, and in doing so, say that our team are working for... executive team and their staff are working very hard in trying to bring extra money to this community, and I'd commend them for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Clifford, thank you. We have a mover and a seconder. Sorry, I'll pause. Do I ask if any councillors seek clarification? Does any councillor seek clarification? Well, then we have a mover being Councillor Turner and Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 1110, National Stronger Regions Fund application. Mr Heaney to present.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a funding application that we need to make Council aware of course, and this is a very large funding application. It's a new federal government initiative which is titled the National Stronger Regions Fund. So the government's announced this program and it's titled the National Stronger Regions Fund. It aims to boost social and economic development in Australia's regions by funding priority infrastructure projects, if you like, but in local communities. The Australian government has committed $1 billion to the fund over the five-year term, and that commences from 2015 to 2016. So really, we're really off the mark with this one. Council has submitted an application for a project which we've titled the Pride of Melton Project. The project delivers infrastructure, amenity and civic upgrades and really is around the Mackenzie Street and Palmerston Streets and Wallace and Bakery Squares, and there's some appended documents to that for the gallery and the councillors on those locations. The total project is costed at 13.5 as appended. The funding we are seeking from the federal government is 6.75 million dollars, so it is a lot of money. The funding guidelines are basically a dollar for dollar match from the council if we're successful, and we only had a short time to get this funding submission in, so the officers have done a great job to get that in probably last Friday week from memory to the federal government. Generally the early ones are looked at very favourably, but we will await for the outcome, and we won't know that till May 2015. So the project obviously is an enhancement of those areas that I talked about previously to help beautify and upgrade the amenities within those areas. We believe it will result in the creation of 20 full-time EFT and also 5 traineeships, which were related to in our submission. It was a large submission that went in, quite a huge document. It took a couple of times to get that through electronically, I can assure you of that. But we did get it on time to the federal government. We did also, I think it's important to note, to receive our letters of support, and they were from the Victoria Police, Kirrup, Jerrawarra Health, the Western Base, Bendigo Bank and the RDA, Regional Development Australia, and of course Leeds West. So we're hopeful of getting an outcome, but again, under the financials, it is a commitment of a dollar-for-dollar match if we are successful. Saying that, in our Council Capital Works program, there is the matching funded requirement over the next 5 years to achieve that goal, and that'll be a subject of future conversations with the Council. So I think it's a great outcome to have the opportunity to submit the project, which we've titled, as indicated in the report. We're hopeful of achieving that money for what's known as the Pride of Melton project, but we'll wait and see come May 2015, councillors, on the outcome. So it's really for council to endorse the application submitted by officers to the federal government National Stronger Regions Fund, and note the overview as provided in the report and the submissions. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any councillor require further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
You, me? I'll move it, Madam Mayor, and fingers crossed.
Yes. Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor, in the hope that we can get this funding to renew some of the older parts of our city that are badly needing it.
Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. 1111, I apologise. 1111 Western Freeway Coroner's Report Findings. The report's to be presented by Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report effectively relates to road safety along the Western Freeway, particularly between the Melton Township and Caroline Springs. Councillors might recall that in May of this year, Council considered a report in relation to this issue, and at that time resolved to request Vic Roads, who are the owners and managers of the Western Freeway, to improve safety at the intersection of Mount Cottrell Road and Paynes Road, where they intersect with the Western Freeway, most likely through the closing of the openings in the median strip at those two locations. That report came about as a result of a serious accident that occurred not long prior to that time. More recently, last month, Madam Mayor, Council has received two separate coroner's reports in relation to two separate incidents within this stretch of road on the Western Freeway. The coroner has made recommendations, not specifically to Council because we have no control over this road because, as I've indicated, the road is owned and managed by Vic Roads. However, as indicated on page 228, both coroner's reports recommend that earnest consideration be given to closing the median strips at five particular locations along that stretch of road, being Troops Road North, the Sundowner Caravan Park, the Rockbank Garden Nursery, or Garden Centre, Paynes Road and Mount Cottrell Road. And, Amir, if I can refer councillors to the appendix at appendix 1, that provides an indication of the location of those median strip openings. Council will be aware that there are road safety issues along this stretch of road, and that's partly because there are a number of properties that have direct access to the freeway, but also there are a number of openings, as shown on that plan, that have openings within the median strip, and that's not a treatment you would expect to see on a normal freeway. And it's for that reason that there have been a number of accidents, and also there is a somewhat confusing array of speed limits along that section of road. You would normally expect it to be 100 or 110 kilometres per hour, but due to these traffic conditions, that can't be provided. So, in summary, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council support the coroner's recommendations and that we advise the coroner accordingly and, importantly, continue to lobby for Vic Roads to undertake works, urgent works at these locations. Thank you.
Please, no comments. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Shannon. We have a recommendation before us. Does any council seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation as put forward by this report.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
We have a mover being Councillor Dunn, a seconder being Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. 1112 Planning Application PA 2014/4442, development of the land with four single-storey dwellings at 12 Rummy Mead Lane, Brookfield. Mr. Bob Baggio to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a planning application which relates to a property which is located on the southern side of Runnymede Lane in Brookfield. It's a property which has an area of about 1,683 square metres. The subject land forms part of an established residential area which is known as the Brookfield Rise Estate, which I guess is characterised by large single detached dwellings on larger than normal lots of between 1,500 and 2,100 square metres in area. Now, the application proposes the construction of four single-storey dwellings on the subject land, and it's proposed that the development be designed in a tandem arrangement, with the front dwelling having presentation and address to Runnymede Lane, and then the other dwellings staggered down the lot. The land's located within the neighbourhood residential zone, which is a fairly recent residential zone, Madam Mayor, and ordinarily the construction of four dwellings on a lot in this zone would be prohibited, but by virtue of the fact that the application was lodged in June 2014 and the zone was introduced in July, a planning application can technically be considered and granted under the transitional provisions in the planning scheme. The application was advertised and generated 40 objections, and the objections relate to matters of neighbourhood character, concerns about safety, that it's an overdevelopment of the site, that it's inconsistent with the zone, and that it would set an undesirable precedent. From an officer perspective, as I mentioned before, the land's now located within the neighbourhood residential zone. The area is characterised by large lot and large detached dwellings. So it's therefore considered that a development of this intensity would be a departure from the character of the area, would be inconsistent with the council's housing diversity strategy, and also inconsistent with the objectives of the zone. So it's therefore recommended, Madam Mayor, that the application be refused as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor seek any further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
The motion has a mover being Councillor Turner, seconder being Councillor Pugliari. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We'll move now on to 1114. Planning application PA 2014-45482, lot rural subdivision at 1-105 Leakes Road, Plumpton.
Madam Mayor, I rise that we defer this item, that the consideration of this matter be heard at the next council meeting in February.
Is there a seconder for that?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. We have a mover to defer until February by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour? It's been carried. Thank you. All right. 11.15. Council submission, Rockbank Precinct Structure Plan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. By way of background, the Metropolitan Planning Authority has recently released Amendment C145 to the Council's planning scheme to introduce the Rockbank Precinct Structure Plan and Rockbank Development Contributions Plan. The amendment has been out on public exhibition, and the Council has until the 17th of December in which to make a submission to the amendment. So the Rockbank PSP covers an area of approximately 750 hectares, and it's essentially bounded by the Western Freeway, Paynes Road, Greggs Road, and the proposed Outer Metropolitan Ring Road reservation. The PSP area also surrounds the existing Rockbank Township. So the amendment documents were circulated to all relevant service units across the council, and their comments are summarised in Appendix 4 to the report. It's also worth noting, Madam Mayor, that the amendment and the PSP and DCP have been the subject of a number of community drop-in sessions held at the Rockbank Community Hall through the preparation of the PSP. These drop-in sessions were held by the MPA with support of council officers. Landowners within the PSP area and residents of the existing township were sent correspondence and newsletters by the MPA throughout the project to let them know about the drop-in sessions and keep them up to date with the progress of the plan. So essentially, Madam Mayor, the Rockbank PSP provides a framework for development of approximately 7,800 dwellings with a projected population of around 22,000 people when fully developed. The PSP sets out the vision and provides the land use framework for the future development of the area. In addition to providing a range of housing types and densities to accommodate the projected population, the plan also incorporates a major town centre at the railway station, an upgraded railway station with a park and ride facility and rail stabling, two local convenience centres, one higher order community centre in the major town centre, three government primary schools, one government secondary school, one non-government secondary school and one non-government primary school. There's also two multi-purpose community centres, a network of passive and active reserves, and a number of other facilities, Madam Mayor. While the council officers are generally supportive of the proposed PSP and DCP, there's a number of issues which council officers request are addressed prior to council providing support for the amendment. Those issues are detailed within the report on page 280, 281 and 282. And just to summarise those issues, the first one relates to the rail crossings. There's currently three crossings of the railway corridor within the Rockbank PSP at Troops Road, North Leakes Road and Paynes Road. These crossings are currently all designed to a rural standard. Whilst the PSP acknowledges the need for an interim treatment at Leakes Road and ultimate treatments for all crossings, it doesn't provide detail on these treatments. The PSP officers believe needs to identify interim treatments to all existing rail crossings to enable the safe movement of vehicles and pedestrians within the development precinct and identify triggers for the implementation of both interim and ultimate rail crossing treatments. The next issue is in relation to the Western Highway intersections. There are currently two at-grade intersections to the Western Freeway, which provides access and egress to Troops Road North and Paynes Road. Again, whilst the PSP acknowledges the need for the long-term treatments, being an overpass at Paynes Road and the closure of Troops Road North, it does not provide detail on the triggers for the implementation of these solutions or any detail on interim treatments. The PSP also identifies the need for the provision of pedestrian bridges across the Western Freeway to provide connectivity to the areas to the north. Officers believe that there needs to be a clear commitment and direction from the state government to address these issues, and the PSP, it is considered, is the appropriate mechanism to achieve this. In terms of housing densities, council officers are not supportive of the proposal to remove the housing plan from the PSP. It's considered that this is an invaluable implementation tool for council to ensure that medium and high density development is directed to correct locations around activity centres. Council officers submit that the inclusion of a plan which identifies the appropriate location for medium and high density housing around the community hubs and major town centre should be included in the PSP. In terms of Paynes Road, council officers consider that Paynes Road should be identified within the PSP as a four-lane arterial road rather than a two-lane arterial, as currently shown, given the important north-south link that it provides between Rockbank and Taylor's Road in the longer term. And in relation to an area which has been identified as the Paynes Road wetland, as part of the PSP, a background report was undertaken by council which identified a site at 259 to 305 Paynes Road, which has been named the Paynes Road wetland. The scope of this report was to consider scattered trees in the area, but it was identified that the site is having high biodiversity value. Officers believe that further investigation work is required to understand the cost and benefits of retaining this site prior to council making any decision. It's recommended the council ask the MPA to identify it as an area for further investigation to enable this work to be undertaken. So, Madam Mayor, as I mentioned before, the council officers are generally supportive of the amendment and the PSP, subject to a number of issues which I've outlined being addressed, which is reflective of the recommendation of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillors require further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Thank you, Andrew. Yes, Madam Mayor, I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I'm not acknowledging because I'd have to give him a third warning. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
We have the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Gagliari. All those in favour? The recommendation, or the motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. We started with Councillor Turner last week. I'll start with Councillor Carley this week. Last month, sorry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. On the 27th of November, I attended the Early Years Partnership meeting. And I know that the minutes are attached to this evening's agenda, but I just wanted to mention that it was sad to have the resignation of Jodie Knox. Jodie has been the chairperson for the last 4 years, and I'm sure you agree, Madam Mayor, she's done an absolutely marvellous job. We also spoke about the nominations for the Early Years Partnership Committee, so hopefully we get some parents in our community to jump on board of this great committee. The applications do close on the 10th of December, so it'll be interesting to see who we have as new members. We also had Lynn Holdsworth, who came to speak to us and give her inspirational local stories. Lynn spoke to the committee about the work with the Friends of the Tulin Creek Environmental Group, where she works with many people on community orders. We had an overview of the 2015 and how much work Lee and Bev have done. And if I could, I'd just like to say to Mr. Heaney, the Executive of Community Service, to pass on a huge well done to both those ladies. They have been absolutely fabulous. The amount of work that they do, and I'm sure our Mayor will agree, is great. It's really great for our parents that are sending their kids to children or maternal child and health nurses. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 19th of November, I attended the Melton Municipal Emergency Management Committee and we had a desktop exercise. It was referring to a land fire, a land grass fire in Ainsbury, and I went through the motions of what would happen if that came about. It was a well-attended night by all the local services, so it was a really good night. Mr. McCallout meeting on the 26th, we didn't have a quorum that night. There's been a few AGMs this month for the VLGA, Hope Street, local, and also the General Order Services AGMs. I attended the community safety meeting with yourself on the 1st of the 12th. It was your first day as the chair of the committee. On the 4th of the 12th, I attended the Metropolitan Local Management, Local Waste Forum meeting. And most of the discussion of the night was the future direction of the committee and different support to different agencies. That is fine. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Gagliari?
Madam Mayor, I was apology for the Ravenhall Prison meeting, but I think things are confidential, so we can't sort of talk about it.
Right, thank you. Councillor Dunn?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 24th of the 11th, I attended the Ravenhall Prison Committee meeting. As Councillor Gagliari said, there was quite a fair bit of confidentiality in that. Mm-hmm. On the 26th of the 11th, I attended the Policy Review Panel, which the minutes are attached in the agenda. On the 3rd of the 12th, I attended the Melton Weir Committee, which we're slowly rocking along still. The 9th of the 12th, I attended the PDAC, and on the 12th of the 12th, I attended the Heritage Committee. And I just want to say that we're seeking nominations for the Heritage Awards for next year. Nominations closed the 13th of February 2015, so if you know of anyone, people or places that we can nominate an award for the Heritage, please come forward or go onto the website or go to the girls at the front desk so we can actually give an award to someone just to give recognition for the great work that's done in the municipality. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to go as quickly as I possibly can. If any councillor seeks further clarification or wants any further clarification, please let me know, because there's quite a few to go to. On council's behalf, I attended the Road Safe Westgate, the Harness Racing Troy Assessment Panel meeting, which councillor Turner also did, the Community Safety Committee meeting, and councillor Turner either has an issue with letting go or he wanted to provide moral support, and I think it's probably the latter. So thank you very much for attending. That, the Community Learning Board, I also attended, the PDAC meeting I chaired, the Lead West Board meeting I attended, the CEO review meeting, and also Western Base Limited I attended, the Early Years Partnership. So they're intermingled with all my invitations as well. But they're the meetings I attended. They're minutes that are attached for all those meetings. And if anybody wants to seek any further clarification, I also attended the Interface Group of Councils, which had the breakdown from all the state election that had just taken place. So if anyone wants any further clarification, I'm more than happy to provide it. Okay. The record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A(1) of the Local Government Act 1989. Is there a mover and a seconder for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I move that the record of Assembly of Councillors attached to this agenda dated 25th of November, 2nd of December, 9th of December 2014 be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for that recommendation?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Is the motion carried? Sorry. Good. Thank you. You were all too quick for me then. A public address by each councillor. Again, I will commence with Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. On the 4th of December, I attended the Star Awards Reward and Recognition Ceremony. So congratulations to all the staff members who received their Star Awards and who were given recognition for their length of service. And I want to just make a special mention to Mr. Peter Bean, who I believe his length of service was 10 years, correct me if I'm wrong, and also Barbara McKenzie, 35 years. So a huge well done to them both. On the 6th of December, I attended the Xinjin Shan, Caroline Springs Chinese School Celebration Day, and I hope I've pronounced that correctly, and that was absolutely a lovely day. The children sang to us in Chinese, and then we had some afternoon tea, and I really did enjoy that afternoon with yourself, Mayor, and Councillor Turner. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's been a great month. December's always good. I'll start in November, though. 21st of November, Zona had their shine light on darkness of family violence at the clock tower. It was a great night, well attended. I'm just looking. With the event with Councillor Carley at the Xinjin San Carlin Springs Chinese School, that was a great morning. And after that, we attended along with yourself the Pop Culture Soy Making Candle Workshop at Woodgrove. At the Rivers to Recognition pre-concert brunch, where it was recognition, Aboriginal, it's for the Aboriginal recognition, and we spent the morning there, and there was a concert in the afternoon. The candlelight, we can't go past that. It was a fantastic night, the best yet. I would say, I don't know the numbers, I'm not good at guessing numbers. I've heard anything from 2,000 to 4,000, but I'll leave you a guess because I'm not sure how many were there. But there was plenty of people there. Of course, it was helped by the fantastic weather. It was just a great night. And yesterday, I was fortunate enough to be Santa for the Kinder Gyms in Caroline Springs for the third year in a row. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Dunn. Oh, sorry, I've got in the wrong order. Councillor Cugliari. Sorry.
That's all right. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Before the evening close, I'd just like to first of all wish everyone in the gallery a joyful Christmas and a healthy and safe 2015. And yes, Councillor Turner, it was great to see so many people. I've lost count. Young and old at the carols by candlelight, the Hannah Watts, all were singing and dancing away. Even our CEO, Cal Torrey, was singing along with the carols. The night was absolutely perfect, and I'm sure everyone had a great night.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 25th of November, I attended the White Ribbon Breakfast, which was quite a great initiative, and that, I believe that was followed by quite a few members of staff going into a parade in the city. So that was great, wonderfully attended. On the 4th of December, I too attended the Star Awards and congratulate Barbara McKenzie on attaining 35 years. I think that's a great achievement. On the 11th of December, I attended the HRV Grants Awards, which is great once again to see our communities receiving well-earned money. I've attended many residents' Christmas parties. I'm nearly all Christmas food out. The Christmas carols was fantastic and a wonderful evening. Quite enjoyed it, and I got a bit of a dance in there as well. And I just want to highlight that on the 23rd of November, I actually run a Beyond Blue event at my property, and all the funds raised on that day were directed towards the youth of Beyond Blue. And I just want to say that it was gratefully attended. There was over 200 people attended. We raised a total of $6,198, which I think was a fantastic achievement. And I just want to say that I've got some facts from Beyond Blue. 1 in 16 young Australians is currently experiencing depression. 1 in 6 young Australians is currently experiencing an anxiety condition. 1 in 4 young Australians currently has a mental health condition, and when I say young, I mean the 16 to the 24 age bracket. And we talk about our road toll, etc., but you'd be quite astonished to know, or it's quite shocking to know, that suicide is the biggest killer of young Australians and accounts for the deaths of more young people than car accidents. And the figures that I've got were based in 2012. 198 died in car accidents. 324 young Australians took their lives. So I think Beyond Blue is a wonderful foundation. I certainly raise a lot more awareness for people out there by the day that we held. And if anyone has any queries or any questions regarding Beyond Blue, I've still got flyers and brochures and pamphlets, and I'm more than willing to talk about it. Thank you. Well, I've just answered it for you, Andrew.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. I'm rising, and I'd like everybody to rise with me because I want to do something pretty unexpected, but I want to pay 1 minute's silence in respect of the tragic day in our nation's history as of yesterday. Council sends its condolences to the families and the communities affected by these tragic events. Now, if you don't wish to stand, could you please remove yourselves, pay the respect to the families that have been affected. 1 minute silence, please. Thank you. You all might be seated. Whilst I will continue with my report, I also want to pay my respects to the passing of the wonderful Lynn Koski, who passed away during the last couple of weeks and was an absolute inspiration when it came to leading women's issues in politics. And she's definitely a sad loss, but she fought bravely and strongly. And whilst I'm in the league of making apologies, I want to acknowledge the fact that we were remiss in not noting the Melton Model Aircraft Show that put on a fantastic display the day after the Jarawarra Festival last month, so please accept my apologies for that. During the course of the month, I have been doing quite a few things. I attended the invitation to the Star Awards Reward and Recognition Ceremony, and there were hundreds of our staff there. And it happens once a year. We recognise our staff for not only their level of tenure, but their level of effort and expertise in the area, and that to us, we rely on them very heavily. The Kurrunjung Secondary Awards ceremony was held, and what a fantastic night that was. There was close to over 1,000 people there. I attended the Harness Racing Victoria grant presentation evening, and like I said to the Harness Racing Victoria CEO, I like giving away money, especially when it's not ours. And I also attended the Melton Family History Group Christmas function. The Melmarsh Prostate Cancer Support Groups, and the list goes on, because now I'm actually getting to the list. Where I attended the Zonta Shine a Light on the Darkness of Family Violence, and it was an initiative, and it was absolutely a brilliant night to be out there, not because of what we were there for, but the homage that we were able to pay and the support we were able to offer on the night. I have commenced my rounds with the primary schools and talking to the young children. I started with Diggers Rest Primary School, and it was great to see so many very attentive children at Diggers Rest that day. Youth Now Champion Awards. We also had the Jarawarra Health Services AGM, the official opening of the Westpac Bank at Caroline Springs, or the official reopening, which Councillor Dunn attended also alongside. I visited the Grade 2 students at Corroit Creek Primary School. But when you say Grade 2 and you say Corroit Creek Primary School, that tells you there was over in excess of 250 kids there. So it was a great night, or great day to be had. The Jarawarra Community and Education Services AGM. I attended Carter's Cause at Rockbank Primary School. That community had about 8 weeks to get things organised, and council assisted. So thank you on behalf from myself to Cal and to the officers from the events team that assisted. But they have raised in excess of $22,000, but it's still rising. The Linking Melton South Party in the Park was a fantastic day as well. We had discussions with the Melton South Tennis Club. The pop culture soy candles, I had a terrible way of painting that. And Councillor Carley has already pronounced the Xing Jin Sang Caroline Springs Chinese School. The Tulin Vale Landcare 20th Anniversary. Busy Feet Melton Christmas Party. Can I tell you that this was an initiative that went through the grants program, and it's the Rotary Club working with a dance school to provide music and movement for our disabled young ones. And the amount of equipment they bought and the songs that they had, they made it a Christmas theme because I was coming and it's that month, but the kids were just, the looks on their faces when the parachute went out and they ducked underneath or when they bounced those balls, it was priceless, and it was worth every cent of that grant. Also, the Melton Pistol Club had a Christmas breakup. Linda's Hampers, can I just reflect on this group as well? The amount of hampers that they gave out and toys to the needy families, and a lot that were referred to them by the family and housing group from the City of Melton. You're an absolute inspiration to be held for what you do, so thank you for that. The Carols by Candlelight, what can I say? I was so happy on the night. It had everything from fireworks to a light show. The light show didn't actually come off as planned, but the whole night was second to none. There was in excess of 3,000 or 4,000 people there, and see the looks on the children's faces. It's been said, it'll be said again. It was the best by far. And Councillor, I'm going to demote you again. Mr. Bean, could you please pass on my and Council's respects to the Events Committee for all those extra special touches that were put in, and I thank you and value your input on that day. And also the CEO for attending. Sorry. Carter's Course cricket match also raised about $3,000, and we've got a little athletics presentation coming up. And today, last but not least, the RSL sub-branch had a Christmas break-up, which we attended. And also the men's shed had a Christmas break-up, which we attended. So you can see we're not trying to be idle. We are getting out as often as we can, but thank you very much for the invitations. And again, I'd like to concur with Councillor Cugliari, and I dare say on behalf of each of my fellow councillors, we truly wish that you stay safe on the roads, that you have a very Merry Christmas with those closest to you, and we look forward to a great and productive 2015 working with each and every one of you. Thank you. I'm not going home, and I haven't closed the meeting, sorry. We have... the notice of motion 14.1, notice of motion 396, Councillor Dunn, invitation to the Premier of Victoria.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to put forward the notice of motion, but I'd also like to insert something. The motion read that Council write to congratulate the Premier of Victoria, the Honourable Daniel Andrews, and invite the Premier to visit our municipality. I also want to put into there, in addition, to be inserted, to also invite Richard Wynne, the Minister for Planning. So it would read, the Honourable Daniel Andrews, and invite the Premier and Richard Wynne, Minister for Planning, to visit our municipality to discuss the growth it is experiencing and partnership with the new state government.
Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I know that this is Councillor Dunn's notice of motion, but I'd like to say a few words, if that's okay with Councillor Dunn, if she'd like to go first.
Okay, we have a mover being Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Carley. Is the motion carried?
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Sorry.
I just want to say, as the only Labor councillor on this council, I was delighted that Daniel Andrews on the 29th of November had such a historic win. And I'm certain that the residents of our area will in one way or another benefit from a Daniel Andrews Labor government. Thank you.
Councillor Dunn, would you like to close? Thank you. We have a mover being Councillor Dunn, seconder being Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Notice of motion 397, Councillor Ramsay, the establishment of our Representation Nominations Committee. I hereby give my intention to move today that the establishment or council establish a representation nominations committee as an advisory committee of council consisting of all councillors for the purpose of recommending to council the councillors to fill committee and third party representation positions, and 2, council draft terms of references for the committee for review by the policy review panel and recommendation to council. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Does any council seek further clarification? We have a mover being Councillor myself, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those for the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, item 15 on tonight's agenda, councillors' questions without notice. Nil. Motions without notice.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a motion without notice that council write to the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, requesting a review of the valuation of the Land Act 1960 and Local Government Act 1989 in relation to the application of rating properties based on current valuation methods, as council believes the legislation does not reflect the complexities of interface councils, in particular land with the classification UGB Urban Growth Boundary.
That was urban growth zone?
Yeah. You're 100% correct.
Thank you. Okay. And you've got that wording, Councillor Turner?
Beautiful.
Any other? No. Yes?
No, Councillor Dunn? I want to second that motion.
Not yet, love. Next month, maybe.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Sorry, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Carley, have you got a motion without notice?
I have, thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually have three. The first one is that Council congratulate the Honourable Natalie Hutchins on her appointment as Minister for Local Government, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs and Minister for Industrial Relations, and in addition to this, write to all re-elected and newly...
Councillor Carley, I'm sorry, but we have already done... We've already sent letters to all the re-elected ministers and members.
Thank you. Now, I wasn't aware of that, I'm happy with that.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to...
No, that's okay.
But Tori has been done, and we've congratulated them on their position.
Not a problem. Thank you, because that wasn't passed on to me, Madam Mayor. So obviously, I wouldn't have a motion without notice thanking, congratulating them. My first motion without notice would be that following the Mayor's public announcement that this council would lose services due to rate capping, can the CEO please advise by the next ordinary council meeting what services will be cut? Could he also inform this council of service cuts that occurred under a previous Melton council when the rates were capped? And I'm more than happy to give this. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. The second one, Madam Mayor, if I may, that the CEO immediately undertake to recover any amounts of monies paid in a form of childcare reimbursements by this council, using ratepayers' money between 2008 and 2014, whereas indicated in item 11.7 as a breach of procedure occurring, that he report back to council on a monthly basis at council's ordinary meetings to advise how much has been recovered, and furthermore, that this money recovered be added to the operating budget of disability services. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Are there any other notices without... motions without notice? Okay. Item 17, urgent business. Okay. We have a procedural motion before us. Who would like to move that?
I'd like to move that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports, 18.1 through to 18.6.
Thank you, Councillor.
I'm more than happy to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. We have the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. I'd like to close the meeting to the gallery and again say I hope everybody has a very Merry Christmas with those with loved ones close and friends, and I look forward to seeing everybody in 2015. Drive safely, folks, on the roads.